right now. God knows everything that you're feeling, even right now. We just came back from the convention, and the theme of the convention was a church for the times. Somebody say amen. Can you say a church for the times? Oh, I can hear a couple of people, but I don't hear everybody. I said, can you say a church for the times? We're living in some troubled times. We're living in some times where people need Jesus. We're living in a time where people need salvation. We're living in a time where people need to know where to go. Amen. And the theme was based on Matthew 16 and 18. That kind of goes something like this. That the gates of hell shall not prevail. In order for us to be the church of the times, we have to know that the gates of hell shall not prevail. So no matter what it is that you're going through, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, against your family, against what God has set you up to do, against your assignment. When Satan comes, say, get behind me, Satan. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, come on, church, praise the Lord right now. Praise the Lord right now. Praise the Lord right now. Because God is good. Hallelujah. You're doing everything that you can to not let the enemy get in to whatever it is God has for you to do, or whatever you believe God has for you. But the only thing that you're not doing is relaxing and relaxing and leaning back and leaning on God. When your sons and your daughters are getting into trouble, pray. Pray. That is your weapon of warfare. The enemy and his tactics are too big for you alone. But when you pray, you call on the Lord to do your battle for you. Amen? And we are all human. I know if you were watching, Deacon came up to me and he said, are you tired? And I said, yes. But see, I didn't have to tell him. He looked at me. Amen? He felt me being tired. When you are tired and you are stressed out, I'm telling you right now, the enemy is looking at you. When you're not praising the Lord through all that you go through, the enemy is looking at you. Amen? And he sees the weakness of your flesh. And he's going to come after you. Amen? So the Bible says, in all things, oh, you want to make me work today, but that's all right. The deacon has prayed for me, and the Lord has renewed my strength. Amen? You going to make me work today? That's all right. I'm here to work and do my job anyway. I want you to know, and this is from Charles Spurgeon. He said, Satan is always doing his utmost to stay the work of God. He hindered the Jews from building the temple, and today he endeavors to hinder the people of God from spreading the gospel. A spiritual temple is to be built for the Most High, and if by any means the evil one can delay its uprising, he can stick it at nothing. He will stop at nothing. If he can take us off from working with faith and courage for the glory of God, he will be sure to do it. Listen to this part. He is very cunning, and he knows how to change his argument, yet keep to his design. Little cares does he work so long as he can hurt the cause of God. Satan don't care about what he has to do to stop you from doing the cause of God. Amen? Satan's only design is to hurt God and to hurt you because you are working for God. Amen? I just needed to throw that out there because we want to be a church for the times. Amen? Amen. So before I really get into the message, there's a couple of things that I really need to say and to let you know, because these are things that are going to be ongoing. On August 8th through the 13th, there's going to be a virtual youth camp. Amen? It's free, a virtual youth camp for the young people. They're going to have daytime sessions, and they're going to have night sessions. A virtual youth camp. For all the leaders in the church, October 9th, 8th and 9th, there's going to be a leadership conference right up the road in Hartford, a regional leadership conference right up in Hartford, October 8th and the 9th. Ladies, the ladies' enrichment is going to be virtual again this year. It is named "The Hand of God Has Enlarged Our Territory." That's October 29th through the 31st. The other thing is that there's going to be an Institute of Children's Ministries, and the children's ministry directors and the leaders of the youth and the children's ministries are encouraged to find out more information about that. So, during the convention, the regional overseer and his wife wanted to honor those that we lost during the pandemic, and they did it for each and every church. So if you had the opportunity to look, you would have saw that we had four people. Well, since, let me say, not pandemic, but since the last convention, we had four people that were acknowledged, that were at the last, alive during the last convention, that are no longer with us. We had Sister Diane Haley. We had Mother Walters. We had Pastor Dorothy Boone. And we also had Bishop King D. Morrison. And one of the things that they did is they honored the ministers that we lost in the region. So I'm going to ask Brother Mike Morrison to come up at this time. And I would like to present to you this plaque from the region. And it says, "In recognition of faithful service to the Church of God of Prophecy, presented posthumously, Bishop King D. Morrison, who faithfully served in the Northeast region, USA and Bermuda. Signed this day, Saturday, July 17th, 2021, Regional Overseer Leroy V. Greenaway." I want you to give Bishop a hand. This is presented to you, for you and your family. Bishop was a faithful, long-term member of this congregation. And because of the circumstances, we never got to show him what it was that we felt about him through a service. But his reward, he's going on to his reward. Because all of the service, the screaming and the shouting and the prayers and the singing that we would have done, it was the reward that he had already gone on to that he has gotten. So we thank you. We thank Bishop Morrison. We thank your family. And we want to just present this to you from the region. May God bless you and keep you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. At this time, I got something later on I'm going to tell you in this message, but I can't tell you now, because if I told you now, it's going to distract from the message. Amen? And we don't need no distractions. So the message today is overcoming the mountain of disappointment. Amen? And the scripture reading today will come from Haggai, the second chapter, verses 3 through 9. If you can stand, I'll ask you to stand this morning. I pray that I don't be before you too long. But it reads as thus. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet be strong, O Zerubbabel, said the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, said the Lord, and work, for I am with you, said the Lord of hosts. According to the word I conveyed it with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains with you among you, fear ye not. For thus said the Lord of hosts, yes, once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, said the Lord of hosts. Amen. I want to read verse 9 again. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, said the Lord of hosts. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. God raised up the prophet Haggai to call the people back to the task of rebuilding the temple. The people responded to the voice of God's man, and they began to build again. But only a month, they became discouraged again and wanted to quit. They were disappointed by the temple they were building, and they were discouraged in the work they were doing. Haggai writes to them to challenge them and encourage them to carry on. This is a message that I think that we can all use today. I want to know, do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever find yourself disappointed in the work, in your work for the Lord? I think that we all do. I think that sometimes we look at it like a mountain that we can't get by, that we can't get over, that we can't get through. When we look at life today, there's pressures on us, there's demands. How many have demands on their life today? There's expectations, there's tasks that are pushing us in from all sides. Our schedules are assaulted. We're always being told, do this, be there, finish that, call them. It seems that everybody wants something from us. Our family, our employer, the schools that we go to, and even the church. Amen? So we get tired. We run out of energy. We run out of time. We get frustrated, and we get disappointed. Somebody say amen. And if we're not careful, our disappointments can derail us and cause us to lose our faith and our focus. If we're not careful, our disappointments can even cause us to quit on the Lord. So I just want to take a few moments this morning and talk about Haggai and how he had to encourage the people. Amen? These lessons that he taught us in this little book can help us when we feel overwhelmed by disappointment and we're ready to quit. Those two words, I quit, they're so quickly to come out of people's mouths. Amen? When things get tough and the road looks a little rough, I quit seems like the easiest and the best thing to do. But we can know that there are causes for disappointment. Amen? One of the main reasons that we have for disappointment revolves around a bad memory. Amen? Because memories can be a blessing, but our memory can also be a curse. In this book of Haggai, the Jews were guilty of focusing on the negative. Amen? They were forgetting about all of the positive. These Jews, their memory had a heavy burden that hindered their progress. Amen? Haggai asked the question, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? When we look around the church today, there are some that look around and remember this church in her former glory. Amen? They say, oh, this is how it used to be. This is how we used to worship. This is how Bishop Willie R. Boone used to preach. This is how Dorothy R. Boone used to preach. This is how Bishop Morrison used to preach. But you're so far in the back that you're not looking forward to the future. Amen? Haggai prophesied in 520 BC that the temple was going to be destroyed. And when the temple got destroyed, I mean, this temple was built by Solomon. It was a beautiful temple. The word has it, there was over 20 million pieces. It was worth over 20 million pieces of silver and gold and jewelry. It was a beautiful place. But it got destroyed. That means that whatever you have, no matter how much money it's worth, it can be destroyed. What's important to me is not important to you. Amen? The temple was destroyed, but God wanted his house rebuilt. And he sent them back to rebuild the house. And as they were rebuilding the house, they were looking around and they were saying, oh, this doesn't look like it used to look. I want you to know today that God is rebuilding some houses in your life. And just because it don't look like it used to look to you, God still wants you to do the rebuilding. Don't be so far back in the past that you can't get to the future that God has in front of you. Sometimes that goes for relationships. Sometimes that goes for jobs. Sometimes that goes for whatever God has given you. Amen? Haggai asked the question, who is left? I asked this morning, who is left in here that saw this house in its first glory? I know that there's some people here that saw this house in the first glory. I know because I know that there's people here that saw the glory of this house because you came from 415 down to 155. And when you came to 155, it was a glorious place. Amen. There was a big change from where you are at to where you came from. But if you didn't look to the future from where you were at, you'd still be at 415. Come on, somebody. God's house, no matter what it looks like, if God is in the house, there should be praises going up. Amen? Remembering the past is not always a bad thing. We should remember the past. But there's a difference between remembering the past and living in the past. Amen? Some people want to live in the past, but you got to get out of the past. You can't live there anyway. Memory is a good thing if you remember it for the right things. We tend to hold on things so tightly to the past that we refuse to serve God in the present. This is a now, a right now God. This is not the God of the past. This is a right now God. If we are going to be a church for the times, we have to come to a right now time serving the right now God in the present. Amen? There are things that we forget. In verse 4 to 5, God reminds them that he was with them in the past. That's what you should be remembering about the past. That when you were going through something, God was there to take you through. How he did it was how he did it then. It don't mean that he's going to do it the same way this time. But if you just remember that God saw you through, he did it once, he'll do it again. You can't dictate to God how he's going to do it. Amen? God was there during the glory days of Solomon's temple, but God was there when the temple wasn't there any longer. Sometimes we have things and we lose things, but just because we lose things, it don't mean that God ain't there. Amen? Sometimes people say, oh, where was God when I needed him? He was right there. He never left. He was right there. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But the problem is you're so far thinking about the past glory, you're not looking towards the future. Because what God's got for you is better than what's back there. But you got to be able to march forward towards the future that God has in store for you. Amen? In the scripture, God reminds him. He said, my spirit remaineth among you. I want to know this morning when you were singing, Lord, the spirit in this place, don't you know the spirit is among us? Hallelujah. Lord, the spirit is among us. You might not come in here ready to receive it, but that's on you because it's in the place. It's in the house. Healing, deliverance, it's in the house. No matter what it is you want, it's here. But you got to be able to receive it. He said, my spirit remained among you. He says, I am here just like I always have been. I ain't go nowhere. I am here. Hallelujah. Think about what God is telling them. He's saying, Abraham is gone. Moses is gone. David is gone. Solomon is gone. The first temple is gone. But I am still here. Fear not. I want you to know this morning, Bishop Willie R. ain't here. He's gone. Pastor Dorothy May is gone. Bishop Morrison is gone. Mother Morrison is gone. But let me tell you something. God is still here. God was using them for a period of time, but now it's time for us to step up into what God has called us to do. Don't worry about what somebody had to do in the past. God has given you a present assignment. He's doing a new thing in this house. Come on, somebody. Woo! If God can use a donkey, he could use you. Come on, somebody. Stop looking to stop saying what God can and can't do. Who God can and can't use. God made everybody with a purpose. Everybody has an assignment. You just got to be willing to do the assignment that God has given you. Now, I said I wasn't going to say it to the end, but I'm going to say it now. Do you want to hear it? I woke up and I was thinking about a church for the times. How can we be a church for the times? How can we affect this community that we're in? We have to affect the community that we're in. We're not going to draw people to us by sitting inside of these walls. Amen. Our Sunday school got to be revived. Our youth department got to be revived. Our choirs got to start singing. Our revivals got to start happening. Our ministers got to step up. Those that are called to be ministers, you got to say, I want this. You got to start walking in it before you get it. Because what God gives you, you don't need a title to do it. So I said, God, how are we going to do that? You know, I know some other churches that have raised millions of dollars in Church of God of Prophecy. Come on, somebody. And they built a building right where they were at. But when I looked at this tabernacle, this sanctuary that God has given us, we got it all right here, right now. We got to change some things. We got to move some things. We got to reinvigorate some things. But God said, you don't have to move nowhere. You don't have to. It's right here. It's right here. There's so much space, so much of this church not being utilized for the glory of God. We got a whole basement full of sand and dirt. I see classrooms down there. I see offices down there. That's what I see. We got upstairs that can be a sanctuary. I see another little sanctuary there. I see it. It could be a classroom. It could be anything that God wants it to be. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I said, God, yeah, I see it. I see it. And I said, God, it's going to take me it's going to take us $500,000 to do that. And he said, you know what? What you putting a number on me for? He said, what you putting a number on me for? I said, well, Lord, can I have $1 million? He said, what you putting a number on me for? And I'm telling you right now, there's some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. I've been through that before. It's all right. But I'm declaring, decreeing right now that God is going to provide. He's not going to give you something where he ain't going to give you a way to get it done. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, this church is going to be a beacon of light. It's going to be a beacon of light right here where God planted us. Where he planted us. Do you want to know why? Because some people say, oh, we're going to go buy this building over here, and by the time you buy that building, it's over $2 million. And now you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to convert this supermarket into a church. But God has given us a church. He's given us a sanctuary. He's given us, all we have to do is have the vision and understanding that this is where God has planted us, and this is what he wants us to do right here. You know, there's a movie that talks about a baseball field of dreams. They said, if you build it, they'll come. And I'm telling you right now, this church, we turn around and do the things that has to be done. If God allows us to build it, they're going to come. They're going to come because you know what? The children's needs, when they're being met, the families will come. Amen? The problem is our children's needs have not been being met. And we got children, we got teenagers, we got young adults. Their needs are not being met. We got to change. We got to change the environment. We got to change the atmosphere. We got to change all of those things. We need to be able to tell them where to go get an education at. We need to prepare them for tests that they're going to take to get them to the next level. You know, our children, ain't nothing wrong with them. They want to put a label on them. Nothing's wrong with them. They just got energy that needs to be directed the right way. Come on, somebody. I know it got pretty quiet. I didn't ask you for $1 million. I said God is going to provide it for us. I didn't ask you for it. But God is, he said the silver, I just read it. He said the silver is mine. Do you believe that? He said the gold is mine. Do you believe that? We say it all the time. He said everything in creation is mine. Now you got to hold on to what God says to you. You got to believe in his promises. You got to believe in his word. He didn't ask you for $1 million. He didn't ask you for your gold. He didn't ask you for your silver. He said, it's mine. It all belongs to me. But I want you to know something this morning. I am his son, so it belongs to me too. You, his daughter, it belongs to you too. Why should you be so selfish to say, God, give me a house? I'm saying, God, help us in the house of God. Hallelujah. I know that God is standing here today, is here today to do the same thing that he did yesterday. Amen. 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 Too many times we God asks this question. He says, when you look, how do you see it now? I want you to see this church being the beacon of light in this community. I want you to see this church being a beacon of light in our families. I want you to know that when your family has a situation, that the church has the provisions to do whatever needs to be done. He says, I will not send my children, if my children come to me begging for bread, I'm not going to give them a stone. We too busy giving out stones. But we got to be prepared to help our family, our children, the neighborhood. Amen? Hallelujah. God is going to provide those things for us. Hallelujah. He said, when you look at this, what do you see? What do you see now? Are you still looking at this like just cathedral of higher praise? Or are you looking at this as a beacon of light in the community? Are you looking at this as a force where Jesus Christ is being preached, salvation and souls are being saved because of the opportunity, the hope that we give people? Sometimes I think about this neighborhood and what happens. Well, you know what? If you people steal because they don't have anything. Hallelujah. People do things because they have no hope. People do things because they don't know where to go. Hallelujah. We talk about a prison ministry. Well, we need to have it. Some of these people walking up and down this street, when you see them walking up and down the street, nodding out, they need to have some place to go where somebody is telling them, you don't have to do that to have a better life. There needs to be an NAAA, some built a section that they can go into in the bottom of this building or somewhere where they can have a meeting, where they can have hope. we got to stop being so much of an inside story. We can't compare things the way that it used to be. You can't keep saying the past was better than the present. Hallelujah. I want you to remember the story of Jesus and Peter from John 21. Three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times Peter said in the affirmative, "Lord, you know I love you." Amen. Then Jesus told Peter, "Feed my sheep." And even then, Peter says, he tells Peter how he's going to die. And Peter looks at John and says, "Well, what about him?" And Jesus politely tells him, "What I do with him is none of your business." We so busy worried about what God is doing with somebody else and why God is choosing you for something. Don't worry about him. It's none of your business. None of your business. Listen. It's none of your business what God does with another person. Got enough business on your own for God to deal with you. Whatever your business is, God, you got enough for God to deal with you. Amen? God is not obligated to treat us like he treats somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. If he blessed my wife with a car, it don't mean that he's going to bless me with it. Hallelujah. If he blessed you with a house, it don't mean he's going to bless me with it. Hallelujah. I can't worry about what he blessed us. I got to have the same thing. No, maybe he's got something different for me. Amen. Maybe I can't handle it. Maybe I don't know what to do with it. Come on, somebody. When we live in the past, we downgrade the future. The inevitable result will be disappointment and discouragement. When you're always comparing and always looking at the past, you're going to be disillusioned. You're going to be discouraged. Amen. But there's a cure that God has for it. The cure is we must let go. Let go. And let God. Don't you know you don't have no control over anything anyway? Let go and let God. Hallelujah. When we let go and let God, we take the back seat and let God do the driving. So many times we want to drive the bus. We should be happy we got a seat on the bus. Hallelujah. When things happen, regardless of what it is, you keep looking back. It's holding you up. You can't go forward because you can't see where you're going. Because you so far looking behind you. Somebody once said the reason why, you know, they got a rear view mirror is that you can see what's behind you. But you can't go forward. Just keep looking in the rear view mirror. You see somebody keep looking in the rear view mirror trying to drive forward. My suggestion to you is get away from them. My suggestion to you, if you see some saint always looking in the rearview mirror, get away from them. Come on, get away from them. There's no future. Get away from them. Hallelujah. We must look up and not look back. The people started to look up. Amen. In the verse six times, God is called the Lord of hosts. The word hosts means, it translates into this word, Sabaoth. It means the armies of earth and heaven. It means that God, the Lord Almighty, it is a military name for God. So when you hear the Lord of hosts, you know that it is a military name for God. Remember, the Lord of hosts, nobody can stand against him. Come on, somebody. No one can defeat his purposes. Come on, somebody. Nobody can hinder him in the least. I read a scripture somewhere where somebody was getting ready to do something. I believe it was Saul. It was Saul. And they were getting ready to do something. And they said, "You can't do that." He said, "Who am I to hinder the work of God?" I want you to know right now, whatever you're doing and you think you're hindering, who are you to hinder the work of God? He said, "I am God. I am the Lord. And there is none else. There is none else." Remember, you can't stand against him. You can't beat him. You can't stop his purposes. Come on, somebody. We got to look ahead. I want to know right now, have you ever seen God send somebody backwards? Have you ever seen God tell somebody to retreat? God knows only one way. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward, because as you go forward, he clears that path. He makes a light unto your path. He clears it all up for you. He'll show you where to go. He'll tell you where to go. He'll lead you where to go. But he ain't never say go back because the enemy's too big. He says go forward. I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God will always stand. Hallelujah. No matter what it is, when you go up against the enemy, know that the kingdom of God will always stand. Even the enemy knows that the kingdom of God cannot be defeated because the devil's already defeated. Come on. He's already defeated. But right now, I want you to know that in the scripture, he says that the latter glory will be greater than the former glory. Do you believe that today? Come on, somebody. Do you believe that today? That the latter glory will be greater than the former glory. Do you believe it today? If you believe that, then you got to keep your hands on the plow. It's time to get to work. It's time to start serving God. It's time to stop sitting around stewing in what happened before. It's time to get to work. It's time to stop sitting around wondering what's going to happen next. It's time to keep moving. I remember a boxer named Aaron Pryor. They said, well, what was it about this boxer? He just kept going forward. No matter how many times he said, he kept going forward and keep throwing punches. We got to keep throwing punches and keep going forward. No matter how many times the enemy hit you, keep going forward. Keep throwing punches because God is going to strengthen you. The enemy thought I was tired this morning. He wanted to get me down, but you know what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's called me to preach this message today. Even though the enemy don't want it being so, I'm telling you today that the Spirit of God is upon me. The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is in each and every endeavor that he has assigned you to do, no matter what it looks like. No matter what it looks like. God is in control, and he's got you by the hand. When you fall down, he'll pick you up. He'll extend a hand down. The angels are coming and lift you up on high. You'll fly like eagles. The Bible says he'll mount you up. That means he'll mount you up. He'll pick you up from wherever you're at. Don't be lying around in the mud. Don't be lying around in the mud. Say, God, I need a little help right now. I need you right now. Call on them angels. Call on God. Call on Jesus. Don't you know that he's waiting to hear your voice right now? Hallelujah. Don't worry about what happened before. Yes, there's a time that all of us was in the mud. But what did he do for me? What did he do for you? He lifted you up. He mounted you on wings. He took you from where you were and put you where you're at now. But he don't want you to stop there. That's just the start of where God wants to take you. There's mountains in front of you right now. Don't look at the mountain. Just keep on climbing. Keep on putting one foot in front of the other. Keep on climbing. You're so busy sitting back looking at how big it is, but you're never going to get to the top. You got to take it one step at a time. One step at a time. Knowing that when you get tired, God is going to pick you up. The Lord is going to help you. The Lord is going to strengthen you. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's looking at this mountain of disappointment in front of them this morning. Somebody's looking back and saying it was better when I was back there, just like the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt. They got a little discouraged. They were hungry. And they said, oh, it was better when we were back there in bondage. You know, we worked for Pharaoh day and night. He beat us. We were slaves, but we ate. We could get a little sleep. But we out here, Moses, you got us out here. We don't have nothing to eat. We don't have a place to sleep. It's better back there in bondage. Somebody's saying it's better in bondage right now. And I want you to know that it's not better in bondage. You got to get out of that bondage that you're in. You got to get out of that Egypt that you're in. Because where God is taking you, it's going to take some work for you to get there. But Lord, have mercy when you get there. The glory that is before you is so much greater than the misery behind you. You have never got anything without no work. We grown folks in here. Come on, somebody. when you children, when we children, we get things because our parents work to give it to us. But when you get grown, they tell you, you grown now, you better go get the you better go get you a job. You better work for some of that stuff that you keep asking for. Come on. We grown saints in here. We got to stop being children, waiting for God to give us something. He's saying, you better get to work. You better get to work. You better get to work. I have glory on the other side over there for you. It's waiting for you. But you got to get to work. You can't stay here no longer. Because everything is moving and you standing still, but things are really progressing backwards. Do you know that standing still doing nothing when God has told you to go forward is actually regressing? Because the world is still going on. People are still dying. Things are changing. Your children are getting older. You have to understand those things, but you standing still and you think that nothing's everything is changing around you. And God is telling you to move forward. Don't get hung up. Don't get hung up. Don't get caught. Don't get caught. Haggai, he challenged God's people to respond. Haggai, he challenged the people because God told them to challenge them. I'm challenging you this morning. I am challenging you this morning. I'm challenging you this morning. Remember, I'm not asking you for money. I'm asking you for your vision. I'm asking you to open your eyes to see what God has placed you at and what God wants us to do. I do realize that my vision that he has given me might not be your vision. But I'm going to tell you this. Don't think you're going to hinder the work. When God does something, don't think that you can hinder the work that God has placed. Don't think that you can hinder what God wants done. Come on, somebody. Don't think that you can hinder God. You know, it's just like your job. We think that we're so important on our job. We give our whole life to our job. They say come, we come. They say leave, we leave. They say overtime, you work because you have to. You have to. Sometimes because you want to be so loyal to your job, you work when you don't even have to work. Amen? And you think they love you so much? Let me tell you something. You drop dead tomorrow before your seat is cold. Somebody else is sitting in that seat. Somebody else is sitting in that seat. This is all about your priorities. This is all about your priorities. This is all about your priorities. You have disappointments because your priority, your God is not your priority. Because in no matter what you go through, God has something planned for that. You don't see it, but he does. See, you don't even know the people that you are affecting right now. There's somebody in your neighborhood that says every Sunday, Sister Kathy gets up and she goes to church. And Sister Kathy, she's going to walk out her door one day and somebody's going to say, Sister Kathy, I see you go to church all the time. I'm going through something. Can you pray for me? She don't know who she affecting. You don't know who's looking at you. You don't know who you're affecting. And sometimes somebody's going to say to you, you know, I used to see you going to church all the time. What happened? You don't know the people that are watching you. There's people, because your life is an example. That's why they say, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. When you walk the walk, people know. I went someplace yesterday and the guy said, well, who are you, Bishop? I didn't even know the guy. I said, I'm Bishop Boone over here. He said, I know, it was all over you. I said, oh, okay. When you walk, there's something all over you. There's an aura around you. Come on, somebody. There's an aura around you. You have a presence. God has given you a presence. No matter where you go, you got a presence. When you're walking with your head held up, they know that you are somebody's child. But when you're walking there with your head down, you're defeated. And nobody want to know who your father is. Nobody want to know who your parents are. Nobody want to know you. You're children of the Most High. Let us stand this morning. Let us stand this morning. Listen to Haggai. He's urging you to reorder your priorities in accordance to God's will. What has God told you to do today? What are you going to do with all of the disappointments that you have in your life right now? Are you going to allow those to stop you? Or will you allow God to use those to strengthen you? Your disappointments, God can use them to strengthen you. Those disappointments can temper you. Those disappointments can intensify your life. If you need help, God's got it. Whatever help you need, God's got it. But you got to come and get it. Amen? It doesn't mean that you got to run to the altar, but you do have to lift your hand on high and receive what God has for you. Some of us just need some encouragement. Talk to God about it. He will encourage you. Whatever you need, God's got it. Look up, and don't look to the left, and don't look to the right. Don't look to those distractions. Just look up. Ask God for what it is that you need. As I get ready to close this morning, I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a long time. If you need prayer, you could do 6 feet apart. Come here, stand there, and I'm going to pray for you. Because we need to get back to prayer. We need to get back to dropping things right here at the altar. Right here at the altar. Hallelujah. Father, in the name